Hi, and welcome to my podcast, Just Jill, where I talk about all things metaphysical, spiritual, energetic, and in between. I dive into the subjects of psychopomp, psychic work, shamanic work, shamanic healing, mediumship, Reiki, past life regression therapy, and beyond.
Reincarnation is a fascinating subject and one that I think can be misunderstood and construed and used in popular culture in really interesting ways that don't really explain wholly what it is. So I thought I would tell a story about myself as it relates to reincarnation that I've never shared publicly before. And it's something that's come up because of a recent conversation with a friend and just me thinking back on the course of my life so far. And I just turned 45. And so in reflection and looking at all the things that have come forward in this life and some of the themes that have come forward, I've decided to share this story. So welcome to season two of Just Jill, Through the Eyes of a Mystic, and my story about reincarnation. Reincarnation takes on a lot of different themes. It's a belief system that's intertwined within certain religious traditions or dogma. And then there's the actual experience of recollection. So today I'm going to talk to you about the lives I've recollected and the significance of that to me, because I think when you're sharing from your own personal experience, it's a little bit different than reading from a book. But I'm going to give you a little bit of background on reincarnation from the belief systems of Hinduism and Buddhism. I think Buddhism is probably, I mean, at the time of really learning and understanding it, it didn't make a lot of sense to me. But as I have gotten older and expanded my awareness around the idea of reincarnation and around our soul and the purpose of reincarnation and the purpose of our soul and coming into a physical form for learning, I can get there. I can get to that understanding of how Buddhists view reincarnation. So I'll kind of give a little bit of background education on that. Hindus look at it a little bit differently. So you probably heard about class systems in India and, you know, reincarnation in the Hindi belief that, you know, you're paying a debt, you know, kind of a karmic debt. And I personally don't believe in karma in that way. I don't believe that we start out in karmic debt. I actually had a big conversation about this with another woman I was going through a shamanic course with, who was raised Buddhist and had this, you know, really significant, I don't want to say significant, just a really sort of unwavering belief around karma. I think anytime you approach this work, for me personally, you should approach it with an open mind. Anytime I will talk to students about having awareness of something or, you know, the way something is, you know, in quotes, I will explain that each of us are a very unique person. We all come with a set of experiences that have brought us to a certain level of awareness. Now, saying that, I realize that's kind of a broad statement, and what do I mean by that? I mean that if you haven't experienced something, then your awareness around it is limited. And being in human form, so just think of us like an energetic consciousness experiencing energy in a physical way through a physical form. So if I am essentially a soul or energy, I come into a body and assume traits of a person in the physical form based on where I'm born, who I'm born into, which family I'm born into, the experiences I have in that life, etc. And this really goes back to the Buddhist belief of reincarnation, that we are essentially this energetic being, the soul, okay? And then we come into the form to experience life, take on personality, but we're essentially not that person. So the Buddhists would believe that I'm not really Jill. I am living as Jill in this form, but my higher self or souls of consciousness is something beyond that. And then through the process of reincarnation, we learn and experience and grow through our physical environment and the physical emotional energy that we experience through the course of life. That essentially adding to the overall soul's awareness and growth, okay? From the Hindi perspective or Hinduism perspective, we're sort of always balancing. We're in the continuous state of balance from one life to the next, to the next, to the next. What it looks like in more of a Western culture is that we're always paying off debt for something. So perpetual debt, which is where I got into the conversation with the girl from my shamanic class, that I don't believe that life starts off that way. And her belief system is sort of like starting off in incarnating as a cricket and then, you know, continuing life from there. And my comment about that was, if we started life as a cricket, we don't really have any sort of developed consciousness to understand that we shouldn't murder another insect in order to sustain ourselves. And so in that theory, we would be continuously building karmic debt just to sustain life. It just doesn't make a lot of sense to me. What does make sense to me and what continues to show up through past life regression therapies that I do with people, clients, and then through my own experience, is that there's a couple of things that happen with reincarnation. There is a sort of balancing. Okay. So as some would look at as karmic debt, I like to refer to it as balancing, and it's really a balance of awareness. It's you don't really understand how to hate someone unless you truly understand how to love them, and because it's sort of one begets the other. And in the other is sort of kind of carryover, almost like a faded dream that you have in this life of something else that you can't quite grasp. You know it's there, but you don't really understand it or have awareness of it. So if you think about yourself in this sort of groggy sleep state when you wake up in the morning and you know you've had a significant dream, but you can't quite put all the pieces together, that's oftentimes what past life carryover feels like. So in the Buddhist sense, you know, that we are this enlightened being that isn't truly, you know, we're inhabiting a physical form, but our soul's essence isn't actually the being, it's the soul. So I'm not actually Jill. I am the physical form of Jill and the higher consciousness of something beyond that. Or collective, you could even go to that far. And then Hindu would be you're continuously, you know, paying off debt until you reach enlightenment. And then through the class systems, you know, they attribute that. So I realize that's really high level. And I kind of just try to quickly go through that only because I want to give you a basis for how this is represented in popular culture, how reincarnation is represented in popular culture. And then kind of tell you how I've experienced it through regression therapies and in my own regressions and recollections. So I would say that my first initial sort of feeling, foggy feeling, was when I was about 16 years old, and I took a road trip with my family from El Paso, Texas to Miami, Florida. Really, it was from Michigan to El Paso to Miami, but none of that's really relevant. The important part was when I was on my way home with my family from Miami, Florida to Michigan, we drove through the state of Alabama from the coast, from the Gulf Coast of Mexico, all the way up to the top of the state. And it was on that trip that I had a significant feeling of home and knowing Alabama and the food and the people. And it was something in me that just kind of woke up. And I connected to a place that brought me really a deeper sense of self. I had a significant moment. I had explained to my family at that point, I love Alabama, and as soon as I graduate high school, I want to move here. And just kind of planted the seed. So in anything that we become aware of, I would say on our, you know, journey, I just turned 45, and this whole idea and thought around reincarnation really came up from a conversation I recently had, and just reflecting on my life up to this point and what's happened so far through my life, and, you know, just the collection of little seeds that have been planted through my life to bring me to a deeper sense of awareness. And that's really what spirit does. The things that you leave along the course of your life, or the things that open up, the doors that open up along the course of your life, are really there to sort of pique your curiosity. And if you step through them, you step through them. If you don't, you don't. But when you step through those doors, then they lead to more doors and more doors and more doors. So the seed of reincarnation was really planted for me when I was 16. Now, I'd had other things prior to that, but I didn't really recognize as that, just because I just thought, oh, I just like what I like. And I'll talk more about that later. But at 16, Alabama was it. And I didn't really think anything of it. I just continued on. Graduated high school, went into college, got a college boyfriend. We moved in together. And then I had a dream. I'm bringing up this dream because, of course, it's the door, right? It's the doorway that led me to the other doors. So I have a dream that I was at a party, and there were four people in my immediate vicinity. There was myself, my boyfriend, and two other gentlemen I didn't know. The two other gentlemen I didn't know were standing next to us, so we were kind of in a circle. And I was reading my boyfriend's palm, and I was telling him, oh, you're going to meet this most beautiful blonde woman, and she's funny, and you'll fall in love and get married and all the things. And we're kind of laughing. And the boys on the other side of me say, we want you to read our palms. And they put their hands in the center of the circle that we're standing in. And their hands, the lines on their hands, light up. And I immediately know that they're going to die. And I remember in the dream just kind of being taken aback by it. And I closed their fingers over their palms, and I very nervously tell them, I'm just kidding, I don't really know how to read palms. And then I wake up. And the dream, you know, it's the difference with our dreams is, you know, some of them we can recognize as being prophetic dreams. Some of them we can recognize as just the subconscious coming through and processing things that we've experienced during the day or that we're going through. Some are visitations from our loved ones in spirit. And some can, in fact, be past life recollection. So it was this dream that took me to talking about, like, this is really weird. What do you think about this dream? I was in class the next day, and I was talking to a girl in my class about it. And she said to me, you should really talk to my boyfriend and see if he can give you a reading, which I didn't know what the hell that meant. Reading of what? My palms? And she said, no, it was like a psychic reading. And I said, okay, well, how much is that going to cost? And she said, $20. And I was a little shocked because I'm in college and I don't have a lot of money. $20 is a lot of money. So I agreed to it, and I met with him.
And he told me, you know, he told me a lot of things about myself that are, you know, that came true much later, that happened actually to be very significant things that he told me about my life, but nothing at the time and nothing that I could really relate to. So I'd asked him because I'd had this nagging thought about past life regression. And he also never told me anything about the boys. He couldn't tell me anything about that. But I'd had this nagging thought about Alabama and past lives. So I asked him, do you know anything about past lives? Could you tell me about my past life? Because I don't know anything about, like, how many past lives do you have? Do you have one? Do you have 1,000? How many do you have? I don't know. And so he said, well, it's going to take me a little bit, but I'll come back. So he left for like 45 minutes. It felt like an eternity. He was gone for about 45 minutes. And he came back in this very, you know, grand gesture, entering the room. Oh, very, you know, kind of cliche. Looking back at the, you know, oh, okay. I can't even imagine doing that with a client now, but okay. He walks into the room and he points at me in a very dramatic way, points at me. And he said, Alabama. And for me, it was shocking. It was shocking. I'm sure, you know, my face, my jaw dropped, my face was in shock. Like, how would you know that? And I said that, how do you know that? And he said, because you told me. And he went on to describe who I was and how I lived my life and how I died. And what he explained to me was that I was a slave in a household. I was traded in New Orleans to a family in Alabama, and where I died very young. I was like 27 or something when I died. And all of it made sense to me based on things that I experienced or remember the sort of calling or connection to something greater than oneself and feeling compelled to something. I understood it and I felt, okay, I this makes sense to me. I get it. But I didn't. He was my third party validation. He was the telling me about Alabama when I'd never told anyone was my validation and the sort of the green light to walk through the next door. So he didn't tell me anything about the boys, gave me validation on Alabama, and I went home. 2 weeks later, I get a call from my boyfriend. I'm at work and I get a call. It's in the evening and he says, I need you to listen to me. I'm okay. I want you to understand that I'm okay. And then of course, panic sets in, like, oh my gosh, what happened? What's wrong? And he said, I'm okay, but there's been an accident in the apartment building. And, you know, you hear these things and your mind goes, you know, a million miles an hour. And he did all the right things, trying to make sure that he knew I was okay and kept me calm. And, you know, an extremely clear-headed individual that I'm so grateful didn't open the door that day. We lived in a secured apartment building, and two gentlemen were in an apartment down the hall from us, actually a floor lower than us and down the hall. And they got into an argument. One pulled a gun on the other, and the gentleman that was shot left the apartment he was in to try and get out and get help, we think. Wandered through the hallways. The gunman followed him until he ended up in front of our apartment door, which was on the third floor at the end of a hallway, and tried to get into our apartment door. Very luckily, my boyfriend actually locked the door just before his entry. I heard the commotion, heard the man that was shot, and then looked at the peephole to see that there was another man with a gun kind of hovering by him. The end of this, very tragic. The gunman that had shot his friend ended up shooting himself. And so my boyfriend was telling me I couldn't come home and that this was the accident. So it's shocking, of course. And then I begin to recall the dream about the two boys and the lines that I'd seen on their hands in the dream, and realize that these are the boys that I dreamt about. So fast forward and life returns to normal. I'm in our apartment. I'm doing dishes. I open the dishwasher to load the dishwasher. And on the other side of the dishwasher door is what looks like sparkling lights, sparkling rain. And it's the outline of a figure. And I'm staring at it thinking there's something wrong with my eyes. I rub my eyes and I look away and I don't see when I look away. And I look back and it's still standing there. And I look away again and I look at the couch where the cat is sitting, who's standing up on all fours, staring at the same exact place that I'm staring at, where the figure is with the sparkly rain-looking outline. And I realize that I'm probably seeing one of the boys, because that's what it feels like to me. And this continues for a long time. I see figures around people for a long time and I don't really connect to it. It's strange to me. I don't talk about it with many people and I just continue on. Fast forward, life continues. My boyfriend and I separate. I meet someone else. I get married. I have kids. I lose my father. And then I go into this heavy state of grief and anger and push anything away that remotely resembles a spiritual work or a connection to life after death. The anniversary of his passing, on the year of his passing, he comes to me in a dream, beautiful visitation dream. He doesn't come very often in dreams. At this point he doesn't need to, but he doesn't come very often in dreams. And it was the first time I'd seen him since he died. So it was significant for me. And he hugged me and he was smiling and it was amazing. And he pushed my arms back and he said, "It's time for you to do your work." And I think I've probably talked about this before, and showed me a scene that hadn't taken place yet with some family members. Again, because I need third-party validation. I don't just believe things to believe them. I don't read books and believe everyone else's experiences. I would say that I'm highly skeptical and always have been and need some sort of proof. I don't feel like I need that as much anymore, but I did then, just because it was so far out of the way I grew up believing in things, and spirit has work cut out with me. So he showed me a future scene that ended up coming true. And then I would say after that visitation dream, it was probably 2 weeks later. I have it journaled so I could pull up the journal and look at it. But about 2 weeks later was the one of the catalyst recollections. And when I look back at collectively all of the things that come into your awareness, especially as someone that does this work that I do, it's like the building blocks so that you can sit down and work with someone and have awareness of multiple things that could be leading to the root cause of whatever's ailing them. And past life regression, past lives, the awareness of past lives is significant. So it was a few weeks later after my dad's visitation dream that I had another dream. And this is the one that I have never shared publicly. And because I think it's, I don't know what I think. It's a famous person. And, you know, I think there could be argument that I knew I had awareness of this person before and, you know, that kind of thing. The significance of this one for me is the connection of the people in it and the life that was prior to it. So you remember my Alabama story, because we just talked about it. In this dream, I was walking along a train track and there were all these overturned train cars. And people in various states of death and life. All of the people that I saw along the train tracks were African-American, dark-skinned people. And some of them were living out of the train cars. Some of them were walking along the train tracks as I was. Some of them had died. And it was, some of them were burned. It was horrible. It was really traumatic. as I was walking along the train tracks, I was walking with another woman, an African-American or black woman. And at this point in my dream, I thought I was also a black woman. We walked along the train tracks for a long time together. And I knew or had awareness that I was in the state of Kentucky. And that I wasn't Jill. I was someone else. I don't know who I was. So the train tracks eventually lead to a town, and this woman and I are still walking together. And as we enter the town, she becomes very nervous. And I turn to her and I tell her, "Don't worry. They'll just think you're with me. It's okay." And I take her hand and reassure her. And it's when I look down at our hands together that I realize that I'm a white woman and she is a black woman. And she says, "Thank you, Miss Beecher." And I nod and we walk into town. When we get into town, it resembles a lot of the anti-Semitic propaganda that you would have seen in World War II. There are posters portraying African-American people in all sorts of grotesque ways. There are people talking about return of slaves. Then you have the abolitionist statements that are, very anti-slavery. And I remember the feeling of her being very nervous as she's walking with this woman. And we walked through town, and then all of a sudden the scene changed. And I wasn't standing in that town anymore, and I wasn't near the railroad tracks, and I wasn't with the black woman. I was standing in a classroom with my sister, and we were teachers. And I was older than what I was when I was walking along those train tracks. And the classroom was sort of like a... like the room itself had a half wall, and then, like, almost like you'd look like wainscoting on a wall. It went halfway up, and then the rest of the wall was glass to the ceiling so that you could see through the classrooms. Because I worked in a school, and the school was owned by my father, and my sister and I both taught there. My father was some sort of religious figure or a very religious man. I don't really remember. And in the scene that I sort of entered, I was talking with my sister in a classroom. We were sort of gossiping, and I was young, and my father was hiring a new teacher, and I remember looking across through the glass into my father's office from the classroom and having this overwhelming sense of love for this person, knowing who they are and knowing I'm going to marry this person. They're going to be my husband. And I said to my sister, "I'm going to marry that man." And she laughed at me and she said, "Oh, Harriet, you are not." And I woke up. So when I woke up, I just had this overwhelming sense of that. That was not me. I just had an experience. Something happened to me. And it wasn't, today as I'm recalling it, I can see every scene as it happened in that moment, in that dream. My name was Harriet Beecher. I knew that I knew the name. I didn't know why I knew the name. And so I remember turning to my husband and saying, I had this dream. I was this woman. So strange. And I said, "Do you know this name?" And he's like, "Yeah, I do know. Why do I know that name?" Like, "I don't know." And so, of course, at this point, it's 2010, and I pull up my phone and I begin, searching Harriet Beecher. And those of you that have put together who that name is already, you already know. The woman was Harriet Beecher Stowe. It's her married name. She married that teacher who was in that classroom. And she went on to write a book called Uncle Tom's Cabin. And I think when I started really realizing that she was real and there's no way I could have dreamed her or dreamt the story or understood who she was, it's sort of like when you have all these pieces of something come together and you have this huge epiphany and you realize, you know, what's happened or what you've done or the significance of something like that. And it was a lot. Needless to say, it was a lot. It was very overwhelming. I'd never read Uncle Tom's Cabin. I didn't know what it was about. I didn't know anything about her life. I didn't have any, you know, it's not something I read in high school. Wasn't reading it in college. I recognized the name because the book is very famous. And that was the extent of it. When I started sitting with it and realizing the significance of the life from Alabama and the timeline of that, and then the life going into Harriet and the significance and the balance of awareness going from being slave to abolition, an abolitionist, made a lot of sense to me. The people that were in that life made a lot of sense to me. But it was overwhelming. And I needed answers as to why that was happening to me and why I was going through these recollections. I reached out to several past life regression therapists. None of them would work with me. They all told me that they weren't supposed to, which I found very troubling. So I eventually found a shamanic practitioner to help me because something was happening to me. I didn't know what was happening to me. I was dealing with a lot of grief and anger, and I was having this experience, this past life recollections and connection, and I didn't know what it meant. So I saw that therapist, that the shamanic practitioner, and what they connected to for me was more about my father, which opened up my mediumship abilities. So it wasn't really... Come here, Rudy. The dog wants to come be by me. It wasn't for a long time that I connected back to reincarnation. That moment with Harriet stayed with me for a long time. I understood who I was connected to in that life, into this life, but didn't have a lot of answers as to why. And I just left it at that. Come here, Rudy. My dog is telling me he wants to go outside. So fast forward a few years, and I am doing mostly mediumship work, psychopomp work, Reiki, and haven't really revisited past lives or past life regression. I did meet someone through mediumship work at a class, a good friend of mine, someone who's still one of my closest friends to this day. And in that, I recognized who she was just through a claircognizance, clear knowing. Like I knew who she was in a previous life to me, but had no proof of that. So I you know, continued on, and I met a friend, and she asked me to go to a group regression session, a group past life regression session. So I said, okay, why not? I'll do it. And it was in that session that I had another recollection that was validated for me, almost immediately, actually. That recollection, I was regressed back. And when they regressed me back, they told me to look at my feet, which I wasn't able to because I was wearing a dress, a large yellow sort of silk taffeta dress. And so I pushed my dress out of the way to look at my feet. I was wearing small leather slippers, like ballet slippers. I was standing on the deck of a ship, an old ship. You know, so I was, based on the clothing and the type of ship I was standing on. I recall it was probably in the 1700s sometime. I knew that I was French, and that the boat or the ship was in a port, and I was looking at it with, it was my father's ship, and something we had just boarded, and we're looking at it. It was quite flirtatious and pretty, and felt that I could just basically get whatever I wanted. While we were dressed, the teacher asked me to go find something to eat, so I went down into the galley, and I found an apple and ate the apple. And while I was down there, the ship's captain, who I had continuously flirted with for a very long time, apparently, found himself alone with me, which he took full advantage. I didn't go back through the regression and see the rape, even though I knew that's what happened. And that's usually the case when you're with a regression therapist or you're going through a past life regression. You're not going to recall all of the details of the trauma. You might know or understand or see parts of the trauma, but you won't actually relive the trauma. So from that moment, you know, I after he was gone, my dress was ripped. I saw the apple core on the floor. I knew the ship's captain. I recognized them from someone in my life as Jill now today, and was sort of startling to see them there, unexpected, not someone I would ever picture in a previous life. And the regression therapist kind of moved us out of that scene and then into a future scene where I was standing outside of my father's home, and I was in the south of France, and we lived in some large estate, and I was out on a sort of patio talking to the man that I was betrothed to marry, and him telling me he was not going to marry me, and because I was basically dirty and I was pregnant with another man's child. It was devastating, but I decided after that to, or was not able to ever be married. And then the scene fast forwarded again, and it's about 4 years later. I am deciding to just live life as I want to. My father has left me his estate and his money, and I had at that point a little girl, a four-year-old little girl, and was having sort of my first society outing, using her birthday as that event. I felt happy and joyous and was not at all going to hide that she was my daughter. And then fast forward, and the intention in regression therapy is to sort of disconnect or sever any kind of carryover or trauma that you're trying to rebalance from that life into this one, or that you're, you know, can't let go of. So in that life, at the end of it, bringing to the point of death, I was lying on a large bed, and I was surrounded by my family, the family that I had from this girl, from this daughter of mine that was born from rape. And she was there with her husband and all of their children and their children's children. And it was amazing and peaceful. And then I just died in my sleep and carried on, and that was it. So I come out of the regression, and I'm there with my two girlfriends. And I'm explaining this crazy regression to my friend. And I said, well, I saw your husband there, and it was really weird. He was on the ship. And then I go in to tell her how I was raped by the ship's captain. And I did not tell her that her husband was the ship's captain, because that was too weird. I'm like, this is too weird. She's going to think I'm wacky. So I just said, oh, I just saw him on the ship. I don't know who he was, but I got raped by the ship's captain. And then this is how the whole story went with my life. And she looks at me and she's like, about 15 years ago, I had this dream. And it was when I first started dating, who's now her husband, was when I first started dating him. And he worked as a merchant ship captain. So he would go, he'd be away for long periods of time and then come home. And one time when he came home, he had done something, but he didn't tell me what he did. And he was full of remorse and pain and guilt about it. But he never told me. And we made it a joke, this dream that I had. And I call him Captain. And I really didn't know what to say, and I just kind of looked at her and like, your husband was the captain of the ship. And she just nods and she's like, I had a feeling. Again, this spirit's wonderful that it brought me to a place or a point of recollection where I could get validation. But what was the point of it? What was the point of it? And reincarnation is kind of funny that way. We don't always understand why and how and what right away. And the layers that kind of carry over, and the pieces that carry over, and the people that carry over, and, you know, why they step into life in one way or pattern or another, and what does it mean? And then the significant ones that continue to repeat, and why do they continue to repeat? So I'm going to leave you with this. If you found all this fascinating and interesting, and you have something significant, or you have something you know is from a previous life, or you're connected to it, reach out to a regression therapist. If you are curious about how it works, I would highly encourage you to read a book by Dr. Newton called Journey of Souls. Dr. Newton was a psychotherapist who used hypnotherapy to regress patients to get to the root cause of their trauma. What he discovered through that process was that it was going beyond this life and into a previous one. And that's where they were healing the trauma. His studies in regression actually took him to the life between lives and what happens before we reincarnate and come back into this one. It's fascinating work. And for me, I found it after a significant loss within my family, and researching and asking my own spiritual team and my guides, what can I do to help? What can I use for myself to help me understand the purpose of all of this? And that is the book that they guided me to. So I am leaving it for you. And my journey through reincarnation.
Thank you for listening. And as always, you can continue to support me on Anchor, where you can also find my other podcast, Breaking Beyond Guided Meditations.